Welcome, Packer fans, to the latest edition of our knee-jerk reaction podcasts here at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu. We are discussing the latest fifth-round additions to the Green Bay Packers. They are Ohio State center Corey Linsley and a Wisconsin product wide receiver Jared Aberderis. To talk about these players, I have joining us on the line from our own Pro Football Draft Preview. He is Pigskin Paul Guillemette of PigskinPaul.com. Paul, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey, I'm doing fine. All hail the Big Ten.
All hail the Big Ten. Yes. So, what is your off-the-cuff reaction, Paul, to the selection of Corey Linsley, first of all?
Hands, which I always thought was important for a center, although some very successful guys like Scott Wells, who don't have big hands, have been successful, but his hands are 9 and 7 eighths inches in stretch length, which means, you know, 10 is a magic number. Anything above 9 is okay. He's got 32-inch long arms. That's okay for an inside guy, for a guy at center. And he does have a little versatility. He started out at Ohio State as a tackle, but that didn't last long because of the size issue. He's not quite 6'3" tall and under 300 pounds. So therefore, the Buckeyes moved him inside. But at first, before he had his very successful senior campaign as a center, he played guard for the Buckeyes for a while. So there is some versatility here. He was on most people's list. He was a top 10 pure offensive center. He had 36 reps in the bench press at the combine, which was probably his most significant number. He certainly has faced top-level competition playing in the Big Ten. And he is also, which is of importance in most draft rooms, he was a team captain last year for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and is known for his hand strength, his strong hand punch, and his functional strength. One guy put it that he can squat a small house in the weight room. So I personally didn't see him as top 256 draftable, but he certainly was out there as a signable NFL backup prospect. And the way the Packers, quite frankly, historically, even before Ted Thompson, have developed guys to be functional starting centers who aren't necessarily highly regarded coming out of college, i.e. Scott Wells, who Mike Sherman brought in, Evan Dietrich Smith, you'd have to say that somebody in this Packers scouting personnel department took a look at Corey Linsley from Ohio State and said, hey, he's got enough to work with. He's our kind of guy, short, stout, strong for the offensive center position, can play a little backup guard. Let's go for it. We can make this guy magic, and we can make him start if we get lucky over time. So that's my take on the pick. I would say, again, a little bit of a reach for Pigskin Paul, but Pigskin Paul's not always right by a long shot, and he certainly isn't some who-the-heck-is-he kind of player. Let's put it that way.
What's an interesting dynamic to me is from a weight standpoint, he is sub-300 pounds, but yet has the strength of much bigger players in terms of, you know, he can put up a lot on the bench press or squat or whatever. Does that kind of, that just doesn't seem to jive to me as for as strong as he is.
Right. And the word that I have, I can't tell you, obviously, Brian, that from watching limited tape on what I consider to be a limited prospect, I can't tell you that I have infinite detail on Winsley. He's not the kind of player that I'm going to keep watching when we get to March and April because of his marginal NFL draftability. But, yes, he has the weight room strength. The one complaint about him, obviously, he's not a speed burner in any sense of the imagination, and did not run at the combine. But you know, he's not quite sundial speed or lack of speed, but he's nothing special. But again, we're talking centers. I have heard, though, that the one thing he needs to work on with this good hand and arm strength and solid base that he has, what he does need to work on is sustaining his blocks with that power and latching on to people, not letting them get away from him.
Does this kind of seem to you as the direction the Packers are going with a run game in which that seems to be coming increasingly power-oriented, not that it's totally there, but do they seem to be kind of headed in that direction with these kind of strength guys behind them?
I think it's their attempt to do so, yes. For instance, a guy that I would have been more interested in at this draft position for the Packers was a guy who got taken a few picks later by Pittsburgh, Wesley Johnson, the offensive tackle from Vanderbilt, who was moved to guard for the Senior Bowl, and then they had him running some of the drills at the combine as a center. And I would have said to you, now Wesley Johnson, who also, by the way, weighs 297, although he was up to 305 at his pro day, Wesley Johnson is the kind of guy that clearly is a five position potential backup, but he's not as strong. He's more athletic. He's not as strong functionally as Lindsley. So yes, that could very well be an example of trying to get a little bit stouter than they have been, perhaps.
Just from the standpoint that the center spot is really wide open in Green Bay, I mean, J.C. Treader might get the first crack, but, I mean, Corey Lindsley's going to get a chance to win a starting job. I mean, doesn't it appear that way to you?
You would certainly hope so. One would think that with any open position on an NFL roster, if someone is drafted, albeit the fifth round or even the seventh round, you have to believe that the team thinks they at least have some potential to come in and compete right away. So I would think so. And again, it certainly isn't a case where Lindsley has a big progression to make in stepping up again in the caliber of play that he competes against, because again, he competed in the Big Ten. And it's not as if he doesn't have experience. He's a senior. He's a captain. He's played a lot of football at Ohio State University. So I think, yes, you have to look at it and say, you're not bringing in somebody that's never played the position. You're not bringing in a guy that stood out as a senior and hadn't done anything prior to that. This guy has been good for a while, and I would say yes. I would think that they're going to throw him into the fray and expect him to compete. They may not expect him to win the position, but I agree with you. I think he's not just coming in to be a warm body in training camp. That's for the undrafted rookie free agents to be.
Are you worried at all, or should the Packers be worried, that they don't have a single competent center on the roster? I mean, obviously in drafting Lindsley, they have some hopes for him. But you know, the Treader, he hasn't played a single NFL snap. He hasn't played a single level of a snap at a high level of college football, coming from the Ivy League. How much concern is there that the Packers could have the worst center in the NFL? I don't know.
I hear you, Bryant, and I guess I'm going to cop out to the old saying within the new NFL under the salary cap and veteran free agency and things of that nature, and that is that, you know, no matter how good the team is or how bad the team is, you're not going to have veteran quality at every position in this day and age in the NFL. So you roll the dice, and I guess I would say to you, I'll paraphrase what I heard Larry McCarron say last week on one of the pre-draft shows. And, you know, Larry McCarron may be a character, but he was, you know, he developed into a darn good NFL center, and he's a smart football guy, in my opinion. When I used to live in Wisconsin and he did his chalk talk during the Packer season, I could learn something every time I watched him do chalk talk. So McCarron last week said, for God's sake, don't even bother to draft a center. The NFL made a center out of me. And look at how long I played. Now, I wasn't a real talented guy, and I was a small guy. He said, you can turn other people into centers. It's not a place where you need to spend a lot of time, money, and draft picks on. So, yeah, your first instinct is that you'd like to have a veteran there. But, you know, Brian, I look at it and I say, 3 years ago, the Packers cut Evan Dietrich Smith. And he went for a little ride on the Buffalo Bills roster, and then they didn't re-sign him, and he came back to Green Bay, and you certainly wouldn't have considered him at the time that he took over as their starting center. You certainly wouldn't have considered him a starting veteran NFL player either. So, you know, as long as you got the good guys around him, and so in my mind, if Bulaga comes back healthy and – you know, I'll throw a wild card in there. I've heard this said not very often, Brian, but I get the impression that the third candidate at offensive center for the Green Bay Packers when training camp opens may be Don Barkley.
Yeah, apparently they just had the conference with James Campen, and he didn't mention Barkley's name. He was asked specifically about it, and he mentioned Treader and Lindsley and then Garth Gerhardt. They gave Barkley a cup of tea at center last year, and it appeared he really wasn't ready from a snapping standpoint. But it seems like if they would just, you know, strictly work on that, he could do it.
Yeah, I think there'll be something more in play unless they feel, and again, I'm glad you brought Gerhardt's name up. You know, he was a good, serviceable college center out in the Pac-12. And he doesn't have perfect measurables either. If I remember right, last time I looked, Gerhardt was 6'1" and a pumped up 305 to 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps, you know how the Packers groom and coach up players, perhaps Gerhardt has really impressed them, and he now becomes, maybe he's the next Evan Dietrich Smith if Treader isn't quite ready or Lindsley. But I expect this guy, in their minds, will compete when training camp opens at the center position.
They got three options, so may the best man win, I suppose. Paul,
there you go.
Yeah, let's talk about Jared Aberderis a little bit here. I'm going to call, when I'm done, I'm going to be calling Andrew Garda out at Radio City Music Hall. But just quickly, you saw Jared Aberderis at the Senior Bowl. What did you see out of him?
I saw exactly what we saw at Wisconsin from Jared Aberderis. I am convinced, Brian, that the key to his success is really basic. Not everybody can, it's really basic. It's called work, and work some more. I personally think if you've watched Jared Aberderis run patterns and finally get open, one of the biggest reasons he gets open is he never stops working to get open. And defenders, you know, either get tired of chasing him around and lose track of him, or they're looking to see if perhaps the quarterback is already scrambling or been sacked. As long as Jared Aberderis is on a team, and I'm not sure the Packers are there yet, but maybe if all the offensive linemen are healthy, if Jared Aberderis is on a team, whether it's Pee Wee, high school, college, or pro, where the quarterback has time for Jared to run around long enough to get open, he will get open, and he will catch most of it. my biggest concern with Jared Aberdare is I sat and talked with him one-on-one at the media night dinner at the Senior Bowl. And polite kid, strong Christian kid, very, very determined kid, a hard worker, and he's a decent athlete. But I will tell you, Brian, he's small. You know, he still looks like a high school body. And if I remember correctly, and I'm not looking it up, but I know this is darn close, he could only do 6 bench presses at the Senior Bowl. And I think he pulled out of the bench press on the pro day after about 4 or 5. And it makes sense. You know, he's under 200 pounds, and he's a wiry athlete. So I think I don't ever expect Jared Aberderis to be a number one or even a number two wide receiver in the NFL, maybe a number three. But what I do expect is I think you will see the Packers give him a shot at one of the weakest points on their teams in the entire Ted Thompson era, despite the fact that it exposes him to some incredible contact. I think they're going to give him a chance to do some return work to see if he can assist them there. And I think he will make a good overall, they'll pick their spots, but he'll make a good special teams player for them, probably on some coverage units as well, but I think they'll limit him. And he'll battle for that wide open fourth wide receiver spot. Wouldn't shock me if he gives Adams a run for his money as a rookie. I'd like to see both these rookie wide receivers somehow, some way, make the Packers roster, to be honest with you.
It makes total sense to me that if you're the fifth wide receiver, you got to add something else. And if he can be the kick return guy, even a punt return, I know Micah Hyde kind of is doing that as well. But, I mean, the kick return was, you know, they don't want Randall Cobb out there exposing him to hits. But it makes sense to me, Aberdare. Any concern about his concussions that has kind of been discussed?
I think that probably also has something to do with him falling so late in the fifth round. It has been brought up, and I personally would also say, having watched a lot of Badger football over the last 3 to 4 years, I have to believe that he was concussed a few times, whether they told us that or not.
Yeah.
So I would have a little concern about that. And again, I would have concerns about him physically, period, because I guarantee you, Packer fans are going to notice this from the first, well, maybe not the first day of training camp, because you've got a lot of extra bodies in there. I think from the first preseason game that Jared Aberderis stuck for and plays, Packer fans are going to notice how slight of a guy he is compared to almost everybody else out on that field. So I guess in a strange way for a fifth-round pick, you're going to have to limit his touches. But I think, again, he could be incredibly valuable because in a long NFL season, even if Aberderis is on the squad as the fifth wide receiver and he isn't even active for the first 8 games of the season, you can almost bet that in the next 8 games, he's going to suit up and probably be on the active roster a couple of times, because at the least, you're going to have some nicked up injury situations, and he's going to end up being, on a game day, the third wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers come November and December.
Yeah.
At least a couple games.
I don't doubt that at all. Paul, thank you so much for joining us, talking to us today. About Corey Linsley, Jared Aberderis. Appreciate your time as always.
Yes, and hopefully, although I they can pick all kinds of people, hopefully they'll do something exciting. There's 2 rounds left, and you know me, I'm a diehard draft pick. We may talk again, because even the 6th and 7th rounders count.
Yes, they do. They do. So stay on hold, Paul.
Okay, I will do that.
All right, take care. Paul Guillemette, Pigskin Paul. Follow him on Twitter at PigskinPaul, PigskinPaul.com. He writes at AllGreenBayPackers.com and for our own draft guide here at Cheesehead TV. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to call right now. I'm going to get Andrew Garda on the line here. He's at Radio City Music Hall. And you're going to hear me dial as I pull this up here. 1-800. No, I'm just kidding about the 1-800 part. All right. We'll begin Andrew Garda. He did our wide receiver breakdown, so he knows all about Jared Abradaris. I know Andrew was at the Senior Bowl as well, in person, live, so got some unique insight.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Garda. You are live on air on Cheesehead TV. How are things going at Radio City Music Hall?
Pretty well. I'm excited, Brian. How often do we get the top 20 in the draft? I don't even know what to do with myself right now. I'm doing more cartwheels.
Yeah, and it's not going to surprise me if they take a quarterback in the last two rounds either. But regardless here, Andrew, the selection of Jared Abradaris, I know you were at the Senior Bowl. What did you see out of the Wisconsin product while you were there?
Well, I saw a guy who, you know, the hallmark of his game is toughness. You know, he's a guy who, once he gets the ball in his hand, he does not go down easily. He can catch the ball while he's fine, so he gets the momentum going. And then, you know, if you get in his way, you know, you best not try to untackle him because he will run through you. And, he's got some pretty good speed. You know, he tested 4.5 at the combine, but he plays a little faster than that. He's got a very long leg, and that allows him to get behind the secondary very quickly. He's a very smooth guy, savvy route runner, and, good head fit, shoulder wiggles. He can throw a defender off. And, when he catches the ball, he's making it easy for his quarterback. He isn't like a sort of typical height and weight. I mean, 6'1", 195 is fine, but it's not, you know, it's not big. He's not, I think, maxed out size-wise. I think he could get a little bit stronger and a little bit bigger. And, unfortunately, he's not a big weight room guy, from what I understand. So, you know, he's going to need some encouragement from the staff to do that. He is a guy who can get caught up a little bit in man coverage. He can get sucked into it because he doesn't avoid contact. And he has had some concussions, so that's a problem. But you get him this late, and you can roll the dice on those concussions, you know. Even that said, like I said, a very tough physical guy. He'll play through being injured. At this point, I would say at this point in the draft, durability is not that big a concern because if he doesn't pan out, you know, he didn't go with a third or, you know, second round pick. But they'll have to keep an eye on stuff like the concussions, as we know in this NFL. It's a big red flag. And that's probably one of the reasons he dropped as far as he did. I mean, he was very productive in college, 3-year starter. He had the all-time reception record at 202 receptions. He was second in receiving yards with 3140, right behind Lee Evans. Two-time consensus, All-Big Ten first-teamer. I mean, this is a guy I really, really like. I think it's the concussions that push him down the board because of the NFL, because of the concern about head injuries and head trauma. So, you know, that's the biggest question mark with me.
Andrew, because he's not the big... Because he's not the big weight room type of guy, you know, he only did 4 bench presses at the NFL combine. Is there any concern that he'll struggle to get off jams at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, one, because like I said, he's a physical guy. He kind of keeps out contact sometimes, and so he can get into a little bit of a hand fight and get sucked into that. But beyond that, yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was saying before. He's going to need some encouragement to get into the weight room. I read one description of it as being allergic to weights. They've got to find some sort of medicine for that. You know, maybe try some Sudafed. I don't know, because he needs to up his strength a little bit. Wide receiver, you don't need them benching 20 or 30 times, but you do need a little more strength. And, that's also going to make a difference when he's fighting for possession with defensive backs. I mean, he's a guy who will high point the ball away from his frame and fight for the ball, but he's going to be going up against longer, leaner, stronger, and more physical defensive backs than he saw in college. I mean, you just think about guys like Richard Sherman. You know, if they're going to go up and they're going to hit him. And you know, you don't want him to get alligator arms the second time he goes across. And you also want him to come down with the ball. So in order to do that, he's gonna have to increase his strength. And, you know, I think, again, it's going to come down to getting him in the weight room, getting him on a really good program, really good nutritional program as well, because that's just as important as anything else, and getting him going. I think they can add some weight and muscle to this kid. He could be a real beast. But again, you know, the durability is also a concern, especially with the concussion.
Andrew, what is Jared Abradaris's ceiling? What, you know, how good can he be in the NFL? And we're talking best case scenario here.
I think best case scenario is a guy who is kind of like a number three, possibly, you know, I guess best case scenario would be number two, like a low end number two. A guy who, you know, isn't going to carry the load for your passing offense. You can't always go to him. He's not going to get the separation you'd like that you get with a number one wide receiver. But he's a guy who can, if he adds some strength, he can make those tough catches, and when he gets the ball in his hand, you know, he can be really tough to bring down. He's got very good leg strength. You know, at worst, I think, you know, if he can be productive, but at worst is, of course, he busts out, but at worst in terms of what he could be and still play in the league, I think he'd be good like a number three or number four, a guy who can be a possession receiver and add you some value yards after the catch, but nothing more than that. But I think if they can get him to build up his muscle mass and his upper body and you know, not sacrifice his agility or anything, he should be in pretty good shape. And I think he could be a good role player. I mean, if you look at the Packers wide receivers, you know, a lot of them are guys who can go up and get the ball and will fight with the ball, fight for the ball. James Jones would do that. Jordan Nelson does that. And then, you know, you also see guys who are very good after the catch, like Randall Cobb. So I think he's a good combination of those things if he could just sort of improve his game. Again, you know, getting him at this point in the draft, I think the upside is well worth the risk.
Just remind me here, Andrew, did Jared Abradaris drop out of the Senior Bowl? Did he practice and then not play in the game?
You know, I think that's what happened, if I remember. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I remember there being something about him being a little bit dinged up.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then yeah, that brings up the whole, you know, how healthy are you question. So, that, like I said, it's a concern, but it's probably one of the reasons he dropped, because, you know, people are worried about the frame and everything. So, you know, he needed to have a really big week in the Senior Bowl. Had he done that, I think he's a guy who could have, you know, vaulted up a little bit higher. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, he's a guy who just didn't quite do enough and then didn't really, you know, have that moment in the game to perform.
Andrew, I appreciate you taking the time. We'll let you get back to work there at Radio City Music Hall, but thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for calling me. I will keep an eye out for that quarterback pick.
Yeah.
And just to let everybody know that I'll probably have some recap stuff on the site Monday, Tuesday, somewhere in that neighborhood after I've caught up on some of the sleep that you, myself, and the excellent staff that has been covering the draft at Cheesehead TV has sacrificed, because we love all of them for Cheesehead. We do. Even those of us who are not Cheesehead.
Very good, Andrew. Take care, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Andrew Garda, our own Cheesehead TV correspondent, live at the draft in New York City. Yeah, you know, just wrapping up here, more so thoughts on Jared Abradaris than Corey Linsley. You know, just briefly on Lindsay, I'm glad the Packers got somebody to compete at the center position. Apparently, Ted Thompson's first true center draft pick ever. You kind of wondered if it would ever happen. You wonder if Ted Thompson would retire before it ever happened. Well, he drafted a true center. And again, it's another case of trust in Ted Thompson that he found the right guy. He wouldn't have been my first pick at center of the guys who were left there. I really liked Wesley Johnson. But anyway, that's against the point here. You know, Corey Linsley looks to be strong enough. Now does he have everything else to make it in the NFL? We'll find out. Jared Aberderis, obviously, you know, Green Bay Packers, Wisconsin connection. First Green Bay Packers selection of a Wisconsin player since Bill Ferrario in 2001, something like that, right around that time period. Before that, Mark Tauscher. They've kind of been avoiding, you know, Wisconsin players for a long time before signing Scott Tolzien this past season. You know, I know Wisconsin people are going to be happy. I really like the pick of Jared Aberderis where it happened at the fifth round. So many people thought, you know, day two, possible day two draft choice. And I just wasn't buying it then. But at the point in the draft where it happened, I think that's good value with Jared Aberderis. It's going to be slow for him coming on early. And who knows, he could even be one of those guys who ends up, you know, cut at the end of training camp, put on the practice squad. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, although I'm not ruling anything out at this point. You know, he's not going to be a top three wide receiver for the Packers right away, I don't think. Who said that? You know, Paul Guillemette said he might give Davante Adams a run for his money. I don't think he's giving Davante Adams a run for his money. But, I mean, I'm willing to let things play out, certainly. Show me. I just don't think it's going to happen. But I think, you know, the best thing for Jared Aberderis is to get into an NFL weight room. And all of a sudden, now that he's pulling in a fairly large paycheck, maybe the incentive is there for him to hit the weights with conviction and start to get stronger if he's going to want to make it in the NFL. But wow, I mean, how great would it be for him to be the fifth wideout to start, at least, and be the kick returner? He has so, you know, the Packers need somebody so bad as that kick returner, and he could be it. You know, he did some good things at Wisconsin as a return specialist, and he's got some punt return ability too, and that just helps. You know, I think it's Micah Hyde's job there, but, you know, hey, the more capable people they have to return kicks, punts, whatever, that's a plus for the Packers. So, Jared Aberderis, I'm rooting for you as a Packer fan, and good luck as you begin your career. It's kind of interesting. You'll have a lot of fans, you know, being from Wisconsin. Also translates into a little bit of pressure as well. So, but we'll see how it all turns out. So it's fun talking about this and speculating how it might all be. We got the sixth and seventh rounds coming up. It looks like the sixth round is underway, and hey, it's not even going to be too long here, and the Packers are going to be picking again. So I'm just going to stop here, go off air, and take a pause here for a little bit, and we'll be talking about the next selection. Packers only have two selections left, yet I think they could use an inside linebacker, a true one, a cornerback, slash safety maybe even, and perhaps a quarterback. We'll see what happens here as the Packers wind down the end of the 2014 NFL draft. Two picks left. We'll see what they do. I'll see you later, folks. I'll leave you today with a song called "Let's Go Outside" from the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records.